A Michigan educator is chosen as Haynes School District's next superintendent, and proposed state funding cuts to public broadcasting could have local impacts. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. A Michigan educator will be the Haynes School District's next superintendent. The school board offered Anthony Habra the position after in-person interviews this week with him and Yakutat Superintendent Robin Gray. Habra says his educational priorities are three C's: creativity, courage to take risks, and critical thought. Habra started his career in education in an unexpected way. He says after working as a cab driver, a singing telegram man, and a vacuum cleaner salesperson, he got a job as a preschool aide.
While I was an aide there, I had a four-year-old child come up to me, and this young man looked at me and he goes, "You have long hair." And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "And you have an earring." And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "But you're not a girl." And he turned around and walked away. And as he did so, I just knew that was it. This is what I have to do with my life. His box got just this much bigger. And I thought, I want to do this forever.
Habra has now been in the education field in Michigan and Arizona for about 20 years. He was a teacher for at-risk students, a counselor, and then a principal and superintendent. Since 2013, he served as superintendent for Paw Paw Public Schools in Paw Paw, Michigan. Habra says he's interested in Haynes School for its size and emphasis on arts. During an hour-long interview Wednesday, the school board asked Habra about one of the main superintendent responsibilities, budgets. He says it boils down to two questions: what's best for kids, and what's fiscally responsible?
You know, I've never been in a situation where I've said, "We have more money, how are we going to spend it?" It's always been, "We have less money, how are we going to work this out?" And I do that by being very open with the numbers. I don't want to play a lot of games. Being in education is not like, I said it before, it's not like being in a business. I don't get to make decisions by myself and everybody follows them blindly. I don't view it as a top-down model at all. If I'm going to work with everybody, here's the information. How do we make this work? Help me.
The board also asked him about one of its priorities, to more effectively engage middle school students.
If you want to engage middle school students, you have to give them challenges. Now, I'm not necessarily saying you give them challenges like don't do something, but you have to create situations where they're being stretched beyond their thought process and where they feel that it's safe to take some risks.
Technology at the Haynes School has been a topic of debate in recent years. Habra said it should be used as a tool for learning with professional development for teachers to make sure it's utilized well.
So to ignore technology is just as dangerous as to say that we don't want every kid should have a lot of technology in front of them.
The other finalist for the superintendent job, Robin Gray, had a similar take.
And we need to be able to have to give our kids those kind of opportunities. Whether our kids decide to stay in our community, go out to college, be commercial fishermen, go into the military, whatever, we need to provide them as many resources that they can go out there and be competitive while they do it.
Gray has been with the Yakutat School District for 2 years. Much of her 40 years of educational experience was related to special education. Gray and Habra both emphasized the importance of consistent, transparent communication between a superintendent and school board. After interviews with both candidates, the board met in a closed-door session for more than 2 hours to decide who they wanted for Haynes' next superintendent. Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri said, in the end, the board decided on Habra because of his vision.
And the fact that we think he'll be a great leader for our district. He talked about creativity, critical thought, and making a place where kids can take risks.
Palmieri said it was a difficult decision because both Habra and Gray were strong candidates. Habra said he was excited and relieved to be offered the superintendent contract.
I was excited that they felt that I would be the right fit, and that's a neat thing. And excited for my family also. This is what we want. So
Habra's three-year contract states that he will be paid a salary of $113,000 the first year, with a 1% raise in subsequent years based on a successful evaluation. The school board contracted with the Alaska Association of School Boards to conduct the superintendent search, which was a change from how it was done last time when former Superintendent Ginger Jewell was hired. Jewell fulfilled 1 year of a three-year contract before resigning in spring of 2015 to take a job in the lower 48. Interim Superintendent Rich Carlson has filled in the year since then. Carlson will hand over the reins to Habra on July 1st. Earlier this month, the Haynesboro Assembly adopted a resolution supporting public broadcasting. Public radio stations statewide are facing a 27% reduction, but the threat of even deeper cuts surfaced this week in Juneau. In the interest of full disclosure, Lynn Canal Broadcasting is a recipient of a portion of the funding at issue in this story. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
I've been a volunteer at KHNS for 30 years. And it is an integral part of our community.
That's Haynes' Tom Ely, who was one of two supporters to speak out at a recent borough assembly meeting.
And I think we should do everything in our power to ask the legislature to fully fund public broadcasting. It's an important resource, source of news, source of emergency information.
Skagway's Tekla Haugesson is a current KHNS board member. She addressed the Skagway Borough Assembly earlier this month, asking for the municipality's support.
This is an important and valuable part, not just of our community, for quality of life. It's essential. This is like having roads. This is like having posts. This is something very important for our community.
The Department of Administration Finance Subcommittee, chaired by Wasilla Republican Representative Lynn Gaddis, met on Tuesday to close out its budget and pass recommendations on to the House Finance Committee. The subcommittee proposed cutting 100% of operating money for public broadcasting. At a meeting last week, prior to the closeout, Gaddis said she was raised on public radio. But she said the difference between then and now is the abundance of technology readily available.
We all have recognized, whether it's newspapers or other, we utilize technology in a different way than we did in the 80s. I'm not even sure I had a cell phone. So I don't think for anybody sitting at the table as we march forward, whether it's your budget or other folks' budget, I don't think it's easy for anybody.
Governor Bill Walker, in his proposed budget, suggested a $750,000 cut, or 27%, to public stations. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting matches state funds to public radio and TV stations in Alaska. A large reduction in state funding would result in several stations losing out on federal support, according to Alaska Public Broadcasting. KHNS General Manager Kay Clements says she's having trouble wrapping her mind around the possibility of losing both sources. The station celebrated 35 years just a few months ago.
This is pretty serious. We've been advised to work with a 27% cut as a baseline for our budget this year, and we don't know where it's going to go from there.
Last year, stations shared a 23% reduction in funding. That meant $30,000 less from the state for KHNS.
And the government has cried wolf so often and forcing us to cry wolf a little bit that people have a hard time really accepting that it's a possibility. But since it happened last year, I think that the perception is starting to sink in that it really is happening, that we really are losing money.
At the Haynes Assembly meeting on February 9th, Assemblymember George Campbell said he was concerned that asking for more support from the legislature for public broadcasting could potentially take away funding for borough priorities.
The question I have that I want to put out there to you all is, exactly how much of our political clout do we want to put on side things, and how much do we want to put on what our priorities are?
Assemblymember Diana Lapham responded, saying she doesn't believe that one supersedes the other.
I do support KHNS. They are there not only for entertainment and news value, they are there in the event of an emergency situation.
The motion to adopt the resolution passed unanimously. Assemblyman Ron Jackson then made a motion that the interim manager contact Haynesboro lobbyist Bill Thomas to advocate for fewer cuts in Juneau. That also passed unanimously. This week, the Chilkat Indian Village Council also unanimously passed a resolution in support of asking the legislature to consider less severe cuts to public broadcasting. Skagway Borough Clerk Emily Deitch said the resolution has not yet made it onto the assembly agenda in Skagway. Among the nearly 30 public radio stations in Alaska are about 60 signal translators, including Skagway. Together with the main station, public radio reaches 95% of all Alaskans. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.